Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, ladies and gentlefolk? It's your boy, B-Train, and you know what? I only got 15 minutes, but you know what? In the world of wrestling, you got to work as a team. And yesterday we had on Philip Stamper. If you don't know who that is, he's the who's who. The independent and independent wrestling. Check out MCW, CZW. Or better yet, check out the Wrestling Revolver. He's affiliated with all that I just mentioned. And if you don't know, message my partner. He can tell you plenty about Phil. Today we are going to start off by saying, holy wrestling. The cards have flipped for both WWE Raw and SmackDown. And man alive, there's a lot of deals also going on behind the scenes. A guy by the name of Crazy Steve from Impact Wrestling is joining WWE's NXT. I mean, holy hell, what a find for WWE that is. No, I'm not much of a news relaying guy tonight. WWE NXT will be live in Kansas City at the Silverstein Eye Center. If you have not already done so, you can get your tickets at Ticketmaster.com, StubHub, SeatGeek, MetroSeats.com. There are seats available, ladies and gentlemen, despite what they tell you of it being sold out. So therefore, go on, head over to Silverstein Ice Center. That's in Independence, Missouri. Long ways from home from me, but a short distance from the host with the most. Let's go ahead and buy you some tickets. And if you haven't caught any of what's going on in NXT, you need to be doing so because women's division is heating up down there with Asuka, you know, still retaining her women's championship. Not only that, I've noticed some things. Ty Dillinger, a lot of people are arguing about where he fits. And I'll just say it right now. Not a big fan of Ty. And I'll tell you why. And damn myself for fucking rhyming, but you know what? Here's why I am not a fan of Ty Dillinger. Yes, he's over. And yes, his merchandise sells off the rack. Is there anything wrong with that? No. Longevity. How long can Ty Dillinger last? Okay, well, it depends. You know, a lot of people say I like or prefer him to be a heel or I like or prefer him to, you know, stay face. He's kind of like Bayley, kind of hard to definitely turn, but that's not the point. Why do I not like Ty Dillinger? Just not, I mean, I'm not one of those people that follows the sheep or follows the herd. My bad. And just goes along with what everyone is cheering for, just like much like I don't cheer for every baby face, and I'm sure, pretty sure there's a lot of people that doesn't, you know, does also the same thing and not does that, but why? What are the reasons why I do not like Ty Dillinger? Is it because he said something to me at an autograph session? No. Is it because everyone believes he will be champion? I don't see it. See, you can't, guys, this is just like whenever you force Roman Reigns down people's throat. The principle is it going to work? I mean, depending on who's champion. Because now you have an influx of former NXT champions like Shinsuke Nakamura, Seth Rollins is in on Raw, has been on Raw for a while now. You have Finn Balor. You have a lot. I mean, you have Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, you have Kevin Owens. A lot of the NXT brand is flooding into WWE. And why do I not like Ty Dillinger? I'll tell you why. Simply because I don't think he will last long. And not just that, it's just his gimmick to me, it'll get old. It'll get stale. It's not like Daniel Bryan's where the yes, yes, yes chants go. And some people say his finisher is brutal. Does that annoy me? Kind of, because it just looks like you're sitting your knee down and it's like reverse GTS. And for those of us who still wish to see CM Punk grace the WWE ring one day, let me tell you something. No one will ever replace a CM Punk. And that is because he could have lasted longer. And he could have been WWE champion for the time allotted him, but that's a different story for a different day. Why doesn't B-Train like Ty Dillinger is going to be the kickoff of this show? I don't mind him as a person. I just don't like him as a worker. There's nothing there. I mean, surprisingly, these people cheer a Ty Dillinger over Apollo Crews. Kansas City. I mean, no offense, but Apollo Crews, maybe if he aligns himself with Titus O'Neil, you guys would cheer for him. I mean, I don't know. Is he boring? Is he bland? What is it? A lot of everywhere else, they cheer for him. They think, this just doesn't work or that doesn't work. Well, hell, Ty Dillinger doesn't. He just screams boring and bland to me. Bailey, she's perky and annoying. And is perky and annoying any reason to ever validation as to why I don't really like her? Oh, I can find you a lot of reasons why, but I'm not going to start off by saying I hate this person, I don't like this person's gimmick. I'm going to tell you what my reasoning, though, for is Ty Dillinger. Let's say Ty Dillinger versus AJ Styles would be an excellent match, correct? Because AJ Styles can put over anybody. If you look at him, the man is working with Baron Corbin, for fuck's sakes. And let's just say this. Baron Corbin is getting better, but only because of the people that they're putting him with. Ambrose and him didn't work. The feud went stale, and you saw what happened at WrestleMania 33. And I said this on that review on Wrestle Radio's Off the Rails. If you cannot call a match in professional wrestling, and you are the heel, I mean, there's room for improvement. There's room for everybody to get better. Not saying the man is terrible, but it's just annoying because they're giving him the diesel treatment. I mean, they're pushing him to the point where eventually he will win the World Heavyweight Championship. And what is the big man going to do with it? Because, I mean, I think he could be a good champion. I just think that Baron Corbin needs work, needs to learn how to call a match, and needs to learn how to do different things in the corner, not just the corner, but do something heel-esque, like rake the eyes, rake the back, stomp the fuck out of someone, dude. That's my complaint about Baron Corbin, or that's my tirade about Baron Corbin, the mini tirade of B-Train. The mini tirades, there we go. I'm going to start off my show by doing that, but, if I start here by critiquing a worker, why... I'm getting back to the center of this equation, and that is Ty Dillinger. I don't necessarily think that it's any of my decision to have brought him up to main roster, but he has been in NXT for the longest amount of time. Now, are there any other workers that I can pick on that have worked their ass off through the independents to get to WWE? Roderick Strong, excellent worker, but his mic skills could use some work. And do they know this? I bet you $100 billion that they know these things, okay, people? Speaking of which, is going to segue into the letter that I read aloud yesterday that my esteemed host with a mo sent me. It kind of made me laugh because the pictures that I get sent, sometimes are food or whatever, but this letter I'm just going to read right here. It says, an open letter to WWE creative at Stephanie McMahon at Triple H. Roman will never be the superhero you want him to be. The majority of us wrestling fans hate him. And before he retired Undertaker at WrestleMania, his fan base is based on kids, teenage girls, and Daryl Ward. That's it. Stop pushing him and trying to force him on us. It's like a Samoan John Cena, and you just now realize that we didn't care for him either. Who can be your top guy instead? AJ Styles, Finn Balor, Seth Rollins, Shinsuke Nakamura. And then in parentheses it says, but you haven't done anything with him since he came to the main roster. Me and my PWF family could do a better job than that crap you gave us last night on Raw. Why are you pushing Strowman to be a monster and then have him lose? Only to have him lose, okay? Only to pull a stunt like the New Age Outlaws did years ago. BTW. Why was the Miz's mystery partner Bray Wyatt? What's the connection? Where was Damian Sandow or Kevin Owens or Mike Bennett? Okay, you know, these are things you need to think about before the cameras go on next week. You got some work to do. And I hope that someone in creative or production somehow sees this, even though I know the chances are slim to none. Oh, I bet you a lot of people see it now. You know, a lot of people are going to sit here and claim to know how, you know, things in creative run. All we can tell you is, you know, for speaking with those who have experience in the business and not total experience, maybe just a tidbit here and there. I mean, I did seminars, ladies and gents, for, I did not do them. I did not teach them, but I went to them because there was no local wrestling in Kansas City. So let me tell you, the very first thing I'm going to tell you, don't worry about backstage politics, because if you're the one worrying about what everyone else is doing, you're kind of missing the point. I mean, everyone psychoanalyzes shit now as a fan, so it's no longer fucking fun. So you just sit there and think about what, it's not just creative range, okay? They've got a roster full of 20 to 28 guys, you know, and they got women involved as well. So if you want to complain, like I said yesterday, I was trying to say yesterday before I got cut off, the thing of it is you got to understand something. It's not just Stephanie and Triple H that are where you can point the finger. I'm not saying that it's okay for you to do so, but you got to understand, dude, when you have a show that runs every single Monday, it is hard to keep control of what's going on. Where's the validity of Bray and connection between Bray and The Miz? You know, whether you agree with it or not, I mean, there's got to be some connection. They both despise Randy Orton. Jericho and Bray had a history. So did Ambrose and Bray when The Shield and the Wyatts were still around. Do you not remember that? So, I mean, there's correlations. There's different fans see differently. There's always going to be an argument on whether or not there's always going to be that one person that sees it, like, from, you know, black and white. Now, granted, in that letter, you obviously want things to happen. So I don't know quite how to explain this to you, but there's always going to be a discrepancy between creative and the talent. No. I mean, I don't know what. Jeez, okay, so I got an Instagram question right off the gate, right out the gate. So, why aren't I watching the Red Sox versus Yankees? Actually, I am, folks, because I can multitask on my phone. But here's the fun part about this. Back to what I was saying. You want to complain? Give valid reasons instead of just Roman Reigns is the Samoan John Cena. Okay, there's a problem, because with that statement, you're just you're stereotyping, you're lining him into John Cena. Am I a fan of both? Fuck no, I'm not, and I've mentioned that before. So you really walked into that one. I mean, if you want something to change, you got to go out, you got to do something about it. It means If it means going to internship for creative, producing, directing, whatever you want to get your hands dirty with in WWE, go ahead and do it, dude. If you've never been a part of a show as far as participating in it, and I'm not talking about as a fan because that's an easy one. I am talking about being behind the scenes, fitting into what the show is asking for. And also, you got to understand something. They also run Tuesdays. I believe the answer to, you know, a lot of people asking, well, why is the WWE a certain way? No one can answer that question because it has its ups and it has its downs. Yes, they sign Mike Bennett and Maria, but are they immediately going to be signing their life away in WWE when there's no place to put them, when there's no proper build for Mike Bennett and Maria? I mean, you have to fucking think before you write that letter, but obviously no, you did like I did and started spouting off how shitty the show was without reasoning why. You know, actually I did give reasons why Monday Night Raw was shitty, but now Monday Night Raw has picked things up because they've got the Hardys, they've got Cesaro, Sheamus, they've got Bayley, Sasha. You know, even without Charlotte, that show is doing just fine. SmackDown, on the other hand, not too fond of what happened last night. I mean, once you start assuming things as a fan, it becomes less enjoyable. And when you psychoanalyze shit, it becomes even more or less enjoyable because then you can't sit there and actually enjoy the show because you read stuff online, you read the dirt sheets, and then you expect it to happen. Well, poof. You know, got a newsflash for you, bud. Whenever you write shit to the WWE, yes, they do pay attention. They get hundreds of letters, even if it's not an open letter on your blog, or even if it's an open letter on your blog, or if it's on Twitter. Social media is huge. It is a big deal. So whenever you guys do stuff like that, you got to understand, the basis and premises of that letter was to voice an opinion. That's fine. It's perfectly fine. We all have opinions. Opinions are like assholes. Everyone's fucking got one. So if you don't fucking like Monday Night Raw, then you have the choice to not tune into it. You have the choice to watch Impact, Wrestling Revolver, Evolve, anything. ICW, my friend. You don't have to watch WWE programming. I mean, I don't know. NXT is not quite your ticket from independence. That's kind of a spinoff of where they came from. But to say stuff like, he's the Samoan John Cena, so John Cena's all of a sudden back in the conversation. So I'm guessing you didn't like John Cena. Well, without John Cena, you know, we wouldn't have things to discuss. As much as I dislike his professionalism in the ring, or professional skills in the ring, I would have to say that Roman Reigns was kind of like the ABC A through Z choice, because let's take a look at the tail of the tape. Should we? Balor gets hurt. Rollins gets hurt. So now Rollins has to work with limited restrictions in the ring. So I think that what you're looking at is you have to take a deep breath, my friend, and the show's going to get better. Because if it don't, then you know what? That's just it. It's either going to get really shitty for you, and you're going to get really bitter. And you're gonna, every time there's a conversation that brings up the WWE, you're going to have to always prove your fucking point. So whenever you said stuff like, even though I don't think it'll get the attention of creative, oh, I bet you it did. It probably got a few laughs because, despite what you say, Triple H and Stephanie are trying their damnedest to give the fans what they want. It's not just two people that run the ship, if you get what I'm saying. So whenever you make a point, please, please think before you open your mouth. I don't really do that on this, or, you know, on this podcast or on Off the Rails when I'm on Wrestle Radio, but I guarantee you, I have simple reasonings to back up what I say. For example, it'd be something simple like this. Whenever you have a booking for a show and you don't fucking show up, here's the deal. the promoter's going to sit there and say, this guy doesn't show up to bookings, or if you show up late to a booking, this guy's a prima donna, but he works his ass off. There's a lot of different variations of workers, fans, and, oh, yes, creative control. Creative control in the indies, that depends on how big you are. If you're Sammy Callahan big, great. If you are ICW big or CZW big, great. Is there such a thing as favoritism in the wrestling world? I don't know. I mean, that all depends on what, you know, what the worker puts into the business. I don't, like, honestly, I haven't been in it for very long, so I couldn't, you know, give out advice. But what I can tell you is, if you are on time and you do the best you can do and you give the promoter what he wants, great. Is it harder from certain perspectives? Like, what do you mean? You got a question from Miguel from San Jose. Miguel from San Jose asked, is it harder to train as a manager, referee, or even a ring announcer? Let me just tell you this, Miguel. Any position in wrestling, you got to give it 100%. So, to answer your question, well, this is going to be fun. Luis, I'm getting my Cali people. Okay, Luis from Oakland, California is asking, does it matter if people leave open letters because somebody should say something because the show, the product is terrible? And somebody should say something. Shouldn't we have our right to say something? Yes. Most definitely, you should have the ability to say something whenever you feel the need to say something. So here's what I'm going to tell you. You got to, but I'm going to say this right now, just so we're clear. Whenever you say something on social media, especially Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, it doesn't matter. The pictures and stuff get noticed by the company. Is it a big deal? Does he care? Because I'm obviously, yeah, it got attention. Oh, it will get attention. But I just need to know why, you know, creative, you know, when you start off a stance, your stance like that, here's what they're going to think. Obviously, there's some hostility. Obviously, there's some stuff that needs to be worked on. Obviously, when you watch a show, just watch it and just take it with a grain of salt because when you get older, the older you get in professional wrestling, it's not about your heroes and your heels anymore. I guess what it is about, what it has become, is one big cesspool of who's over. Man, did you see this guy's move? Say, oh, that was a botch. Unless you have physically not gotten in a ring to wrestle, referee, whatever, please, by all means, shut your fucking mouth. Because here it is. You can make comments on comment boards, discussion boards, but when you are in front of workers and you're trying to get the attention of somebody, this is what pisses me off. When you're in front of maybe four or five workers and they know that you're going to make comments about their works, they're just ignoring you. They're listening and they're laughing inside. And because you try to be one of them, but you're not. So how do you do that? You get off your ass, you go to a computer, you research wrestling schools, no matter where you are, you go to monsterfactory.org, you talk to Danny Cage because his number is on right on the website. You text him about how much tuition costs, which is $2,500 or $3,000 for a non-student. It's $2,000 for a student with experience. So am I helping promote a random wrestling school in the midst of this discussion? To answer your question, Terry, yes. The answer is yes, because if you want to go get, not just Danny's school, there's Bubba Ray's, there's Booker T's, there's more than just the big wrestling names in the business. Terry Funk also has a school. So you have got to be aware, ladies and gentlemen, what you say does impact a lot of what is said. Because why? 9/10 of the law in professional wrestling is whenever you put your name out there. So now, I guarantee you, does being blacklisted matter? To answer Patricia, yes, it does. Because in certain instances, yes. In certain instances, no. Being blacklisted from a shitty-ass company, does that matter? Meh. Because I've moved forward. So being blacklisted from a major company, and yeah, it does matter. Because what you say on social media, what you say on a podcast, yes, it does matter. I drop F-bombs because I can. And that's the what's my reasoning for it? Because it helps move along the fucking sentence. There you go. All right, so here's the deal. Back to this part of the equation. No, I'm not talking about math because I'm horrible at it. So whenever you say stuff like Stephanie and Triple H, you open the letter towards them. They are two prominent individuals in the business. One inherited her father's business and is learning, as a CEO, I believe, and Triple H is now the COO, and he's helping run NXT. So you try getting presidential sleep, as I like to say, while trying to write, help do a show. It's not those two, you idiot. It's Brian Armstrong, Jamie Noble, Michael Hayes that are running the ship, and I find it fucking hilarious that you just targeted the wrong two people. Because once you target them, okay, so is it Stephanie's fault that WrestleMania happened the way it did? So you're going to pin the blame on Triple H and Stephanie for pushing Roman Reigns. Look, guys. Roman and the company way, he has the look. He has the perfect build. Of course, a lot of people are really, really hating the Roman Reigns-Lesnar idea. And how are they going to fix it? We don't know. I'm not a big fan of it either. But I don't sit there on social media and write out a letter to two people that have nothing to fucking do with the fact that Roman Reigns is, got a push for the business for the third straight time. Here's what you can say, guys. Roman Reigns, despite his, inability to get the crowd's reaction the way that, they should be getting. He's no Shawn Michaels. He's not Stone Cold. He's not The Rock. He definitely is not Hogan, the early years of Hulk Hogan. But here's the thing. The man, the way he's been pushed, has not been in his favor. And by that, I mean, Batista did come and kind of ruin that in 2014. So, when a lot of people were for him, Roman didn't even get a chance. He didn't even have a prayer. So that's like, throwing a pitcher into a game who's had no experience and you boo his ass for giving up 3 runs, but, he's in a jam, the bases are loaded. So that's not fair to do to somebody that's had multiple chances and he still manages to flub it up. But you can chalk that up to bad timing, because if it weren't for Balor getting injured, if it weren't for Rollins getting hurt, the plans for WrestleMania, the outline changed. Because you have to understand this, is whenever you wrote that letter online, you probably just were venting out your frustration. You'd be like, man, I really feel like this should go this way. And these would be my top guys if I were in any way, shape, or form, and creative. Okay, so there's a lot of ifs, ands, or buts, but see right there. There's one right there. Okay, Angie from Leavenworth, Kansas, has to ask me this question. I think, why do people hate on Roman? He is so sexy. Okay, see, that's one reason why we hate on him. Is because a lot of people will ask, okay, here's my direct answer to that, Angie. Whenever you have a superstar that's not well-liked. A lot of the fans will say, he doesn't know how to work a match. He doesn't know how to do this, that, the other. Do you guys train? I mean, honestly, do you guys work out in the gym? Do you guys put in the time and effort to go to do you guys put in the time and effort to go out and do this stuff? No. But what I'm saying is you guys have the right to vent. That doesn't necessarily give you the right to attack people that are not the source of the problem. Do your research. Because if you honestly sit there and watch the 2 or 3 hours of Monday Night Raw, well, literally 2.5 because of the commercials, there's definitely going to be issues, because then you start watching the show as an analyst instead of a fan. And Jake, the host, the most knows this about me. I like watching from both sides. I like to watch as a fan, like, oh man, this would have been cool. Or, from a worker's perspective, which, obviously, in this day and age, we've got more analysts than we do fans, which then in turn turns into a big old problem. You understand? Like, if you go to, a concert and you say, oh, well, she hit that note, but she didn't hit this note. So it works in all different facets. Carrie from my neck of the woods in Brooklyn, what trains you take on? N and the R, okay. So I'm guessing your Avenue. Okay, we're not going to give that information. It's my best friend from grade school. And what does this have to do with anything? I'm kind of trying to pass the time while watching the game and also chatting with you lovely folks on Instagram. That's Wrestle_Radio on Instagram. You can do those questions for those days. But right now the questions are going through BTrain05000 on Instagram. So never fear. Yep, B-Train's here. All right, so what's the question, Carrie? Okay, so, again, why the hatred on Roman Reigns? Simply because, since you haven't watched wrestling, Carrie, since 2001, I'm going to fill you in. He's kind of like the John Cena right now, but here's what this guy said in a way, and he said it a very derogatory way at Triple H and Stephanie, which they're not a part of fucking Creative, which a lot of fans read on who's who, and they read who's on the board. That's their business. I don't care. But why is Roman Reigns so hated? I mean, geez, this question gets recycled quite a bit on my show. So to answer your question, he gets hated because he never has any connection with the crowd, and no matter what he does, heel or babyface, what it takes, for what it's worth, I think he can actually pull through, and I think that he can turn this around. Now, granted, it might take some time, like Baron Corbin, but I believe Roman Reigns can fix what needs to be fixed. And you know what? It is a wrestling show. The show has got to go on, so. It is what it is. And by the way, yes, the score is 2-0, Carrie. Thank you for that. I'm watching the score, goofball. Anyways, so as I was saying, oh my goodness, the time's gone by so quickly. Any other questions, go through either. You can go through the Wrestle Radio one. There's no rule against it, but I prefer you go to the B-Train 05000 one. Thank you, Doug, for asking that question from Kyler, Indiana. Okay. So basically, the brunt end of this discussion, and when I get to Off the Rails Uncensored, I'm going to basically tell, not just etiquette for workers, but also for fans. And I'm going to tell you all something. I have no problem with having a discussion, but it's got to be like, you got to have the ability to listen in this business. And also, you don't think that Triple H is taking into consideration, or Stephanie, or Michael Hayes, or Jamie Noble, or Armstrong, or Jimmy Jacobs? I mean, God forbid if you know all the information, but at least read. Reading is key. key in anything. But also, listening is also very key. So you just have to find ways. Also, ways as in sit, listen, in an open discussion. Go to velvetjobs.com if you're wishing to sign up to be a WWE creator, but you have to have experience, and you have to be the very best at what you do. Otherwise, people are not going to be able to take you seriously. So, with all this being said, ladies and gentlemen, I want your guys' questions about stuff like, how do I get into a wrestling school, or, you know, like, what's the best suggestion, you know, when we're discussing wrestling? Like, just joke around. Have fun. Wrestling is supposed to be, you know, not so analytical. Like, back in the day when it was the not just the Attitude Era, but before then when I was a kid, like 5 years old, I remember going stuff local, you know, in New York, and just seeing, like, the Ultimate Warrior backpacks, and just seeing, like, I'm having a nostalgic moment because, like, there has to be a segue between all this madness going on right now. But, you know, I don't understand why some people have to analyze. Some people have to, I guess, be in control. So what does that mean? A lot of people, it's not just about wrestling. It's just a lot of people have to have that dominant feeling, that alpha female. I always have to have the last word. I'm not going to lie, I don't like losing an argument either, but whenever you watch professional wrestling, whenever you vent about it, have some vindication about why, and also get the quotationary. And how does this fit into all this? A good friend of mine, or not good friend of mine, but a reference, if you will, Brutal Bob. If you want to improve promos, if you're wanting to improve letters, pick you up the quotationary or go to brainyquote.com. That is BRAINY.com or brainyquote.com, my bad, not brainy.com. I mean, sometimes I feel like I drop my brain on the front door. But here's the thing why I say this. Brainyquote.com has a lot of quotations. And if you feel like, you know, a wise man once said, we have nothing to fear but fear itself, you can leave that quote in there. And here's the thing. Whenever you feel the need to vent or write a letter, write a personal handwritten letter. I'm pretty sure it won't get back, or it may get back. I don't know. It all depends. But what I do know is I read through this letter, okay? And yes, hi, Serena from Boston. I realize you're a Red Sox fan. And also your question is regarding the letter. Okay, well, here, to put you into perspective, here's why I said what I said. I said get the quotationary because, number one, if someone wants to go out and make assumptions of who's running WWE creative when they don't even know who or what it's about. You know, creative is not just centered around two people, and people forget the WWE employs over 700 employees. It just so happens Triple H and Stephanie get targeted for creative decision making. They are the ones sitting in the back if they're not involved in the show, watching what's going on. The writers, the creative writers per se, Fit Finley, Brian Armstrong, you know, a.k.a. Road Dogg, you have to understand that the reason why I'm saying what I'm saying is because, okay, there's just, okay, so you're asking me what bias do I have, you know, towards the analytical fan? I'm just saying it's not fun watching with someone who literally analyzes everything before it fucking happens. That's like going to a psychic fair and someone telling you, oh, yes, by the way, the psychics are the ones that read your palms, and they're going to predict this for you, and this is your long lifeline. I mean, don't you think that people get sick of that mess? I mean, I know I would. Because whenever you watch professional wrestling with a friend of yours, you're always going to have that variety of fan base. And what variety am I discussing with you right now? Okay. For starters, you have the independent wrestling fans, which is my friend Jake. And he watches pretty much everything, and I mean everything. So, yes, I believe that, you know, it's beautiful to have variety. For the question is from Thor. That's a cool name to have. Thor from Indianapolis, Indiana. So, all right. And this question is, do I think wrestling will eventually... No, I really don't. I don't think it'll be not so cool anymore. That's cool. How old are you? Okay, so he's... Yeah, you're 16, and you say, you're asking me if wrestling will go out of style. That depends, because, you know, UFC goes in and out of style every decade. It just depends on what people are into, man. It's all about what's trending and what's not. Just like when social media came about, do you think that people cared about Facebook until, you know, everyone and their mother decided to join it? I mean, just saying. Just saying. So I got 3 minutes till you enter my mind even more. But I got to tell you, you know, yesterday we were discussing Wrestling Revolver with my eyeball, who, you know, which had 5 stitches taken out of it. It's kind of like a Mick Foley story every time with me. I've had eye surgery 2 years ago. Let's see what else. I've had my car light on fire, and I survived. So, yeah, if this is from a personal friend. Her name is Jamie. She's asking me how I'm doing, so I'm answering her question, and I'm doing just fine. I have hit some bumps in the road, but obviously I'm doing A-okay. All right. So, continuing the madness, whenever you have a certain group of people who complain, like, you know, PWF Buck, I understand why this person is upset. I completely understand. And I do like the list of people that he listed off. However, you know, this is, you know, looking at things from two perspectives. There's plan A, and it's all the way through plan Z. And then if letters don't work out, guess what? Numbers do. But writers, the way things are written, the way things are built, you might want to talk to Armstrong, you might want to chat with Hayes if he fucking cares. You might want to talk with certain people. Again, it's not up to us what goes on, you know, our TV screens. But if we had our way, so let me ask you this. What matches would you put Finn Balor in? And also, a lot of people say, I could easily book that. Dude, okay. The Independents. And now, of what Finn used to do are different from what WWE fans are accustomed to. And I hate to say this, but a lot of WWE fans, you know, not just E fans, fans have a certain want, okay? And they also have the IQ of 12. Love you fans to death, but it's the fucking truth when it comes to wrestling, because a lot of you are easily swayed, so... Here's the thing, I'm going to just, in about 40 seconds, tell you what really pisses and pees me off, or, yeah, pisses me the fuck off about this business, and, that's what I do on Wrestle Radio. What I'm going to do is discuss with you two different things on how, you know, one, how to approach certain things in professional wrestling from a fan's perspective, and also, what I've observed lately, you know, in 2017, as far as professional wrestling goes, and in 3, 2, 1, get inside B-Train's mind. Look All right. So here's what I like to call B-Train's Off the Rails Uncensored. And the very first leg of this segment, I'm going to discuss with you how you approach a certain situation that you're not too keen on. Like, okay, creative really pissed me off here with this angle. They did this to my favorite guy, and I think these guys should be the top line. Steel line from Stone Cold. If you really, really want to sit there on your high horse and say, this guy works, this guy works, this guy works, but this guy's like a Samoan John Cena, so that's why I choose not to cheer for him. You really, I mean, you defeat the purpose of what if you bring your niece there, or your nephew, or what if you're just going to a wrestling show just to enjoy? Here's how you approach the situation as a fan. Go write a letter. Be more proactive about it. Sign up to get a job. I've mentioned these things earlier, but I think it bears fucking repeating so that I beat it into your brain. Whenever you, a podcast, is considering calling out someone, make sure your sources are, you know, you're calling out that person directly or the people responsible, because Triple H and Stephanie are not the main people behind calling the shots. And most people have forgotten that they are busy running other things and doing other things behind the scenes that they have no time nor the presence to be there. They haven't been there in a couple weeks. I mean, obviously Kurt Angle has taken over, as general manager. I'm stumbling upon words, but what I'm saying is you don't get why Bray Wyatt has a connection to The Miz. Who else are they going to call? They can't exactly just call Damian Sandow, who left the company and felt that he, you know, could do better somewhere else. And there, you know, there's no shame in doing that, because why? Cody Rhodes is doing well on his own. So you would much rather have a partner that makes sense for The Miz. Okay, here's a scenario for you. Why not, and I'll say this nicely, you know, reading the letter just made me think back to what I've done before my rants got fine-tuned. If you want to work in World Wrestling Entertainment, don't you think it'd be wise to get rid of that letter and write, kind of, you know, eat some crow and apologize? Because I have eaten crow a lot, and I got fucked over in my case because a shitty company decided to step all over what I was capable of. And here's the thing. I have validation to be upset. You, on the other hand, are sitting as a fan comfortably at home, not having any clue what goes into planning a show. Okay, a lot of people, what entails wrestling? It's not so hard. All you have to do is get a gimmick and put some stuff on and go out there and entertain people. If you don't know what you're doing in that ring to entertain fans, then get the fuck out of the business. Okay? It really bugs me when people sit there and complain and write a paragraph letter expecting attention. Yeah, congratulations, you got attention from another podcast. Does it matter who's in control? You're still getting a show. Yes, Roman Reigns was the reason why Royal Rumble was terrible. No, I mean, there's tidbits of it that were fun to watch, like when it was retained, and unfortunately it started the feud between Reigns and Taker as after the fact. So you guys are centralizing your blame on Stephanie and Triple H, because those two are supposedly the reasonings behind the fact that, you know, like I mentioned earlier in the podcast, that Balor was injured, Rollins was injured. So the timeline, the build-up, the card had to change. That's why Joe came late. Had he went into the Royal Rumble and won it, what kind of matches would we have? A lot of people who are indie fans, like myself, could picture Finn Balor versus Joe. Yes. But, I mean, You're tickling your fancy. You're not thinking about the fans. You got to spread things out because the kids, they buy stuff. A lot of what the demographic is, yes, kids buy the product. So what is the harm in his shirts getting sold? Yes, the man cannot work, but he's selling T-shirts. He's getting numbers. And numbers speak volumes for a certain somebody. And a lot of people who don't watch the other parts of the network, I call it the gallows of the network, because, or the basements watching on the network, like Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, and JBL all sat down and had a chat, where the numbers go for merchandise. And you got to understand something, when they're making a percentage, it's their appearances. It's their ability to get in the ring and do what they do. Yes, Roman Reigns has a similar comparison to John Cena because he wasn't well-liked. That's not up to us, okay? That's the company's vision that they have, okay? So that's my take for that letter. And it took up the majority of the discussion from Ty Dillinger. But I want to touch base with believability in champions. This is one of my pet peeves in the women's division that I've recently noticed in WWE. I'm not saying Bayley is a bad choice. I'm not saying that she cannot prove to the world that she's, you know, not so, you know, happy. I can't think of the word. Oh, yes, I can. Because she's not healed, that's not the point. The point is, she's not a believable champion from my perspective. I believe that she worked her ass off from NXT to get where she's at. And a lot of people say, well, without her, you wouldn't have Sasha, you wouldn't have Alexa, you wouldn't have... I'm pretty sure we would. I personally feel that there are those of us in the wrestling world who do not, you know, without your baby faces, you will not have your heels. That is true. Thank you, Marco, for pointing that out. Marco from, oh, that's interesting, Murray, Texas. And, yes, that's true. But Bayley to me is not believable. Like, she's so happy-go-lucky and so, like, believe, you know, you can accomplish your dreams. I mean, if this were 1994, 95 WWE, I would believe her. But her believability and her mic skills are atrocious. They are just, ugh. I think that if she had someone work on her with it, be 100% better. But just her in-ring stuff, okay, it's the same from NXT. And I know my partner, the host for the most, who listens to this, probably going to roll, say, what do I have an issue with Bayley? I'm just saying, Alexa Bliss, Sasha, I believe, is champion. Alexa, Mickey, Nia, who I, you know, oddly have not seen her on Monday Night Raw for some reason, but I do believe believability is not all there in the women's division on Monday Night Raw. I just don't see it. Like, I don't. Like, I physically don't. She's been champion only for so long time, and you push Nia Jax, who doesn't get a championship because she's not what not what people are fan friendly of. So, I mean, here it is. I'm just going to say it. Somebody has to dethrone her. Somebody has to dethrone Bayley. And that's just, you know, from a personal perspective, a lot of fans will say, well, Bayley's this and that, and she's really a good champion. Yeah, whatever. Okay, so, anyways, moving forward with the 34 minutes that I have left to rant and rave about. this guy's attitude in the business. There's wrestlers that I see, you know, on my social media that I am friends with on Facebook, and some of them, you know, actually most of them are promoting themselves, and you know what? There's no problem with that. However, you know, it's just like, let me just entice you all with a little bit of inform you about what I see and observe. For social media clogs up with a lot of promotional stuff, and you like it or you don't like it. It's your choice as a fan. Like I said, we all have the choices, people to unfollow you, not follow you. There's certain guys that are doing their best to stay humble and work hard. There's certain guys that are doing their best to, you know, again, promote themselves and make sure that their T-shirts, their merchandise is on the rack or on the tables or whatever, is selling well. So, in other words, it's hard to keep positive about some people. In other words, it's, you know, so how do you not create drama? Just, I don't know. Just laugh. Oh, yes, I do know. I'm tired of stammering around. There are certain guys who think they're hot shit and they really aren't. So here's the thing. To you who think you're hot shit and you don't have any, you know, way about, people don't know who the fuck you are, I'm going to refer back to a long time ago when I said the following. Taz said it best. There are those of us who are stuck in a bubble because we believe that we are hot shit. But whenever we walk down the street, people who don't recognize you is kind of a surprise. Like, hey, I thought we were cool, man. I thought I was the shit. I thought I was a number one. It doesn't quite work out like that. Everyone has their ups and downs in this business, too, so I'm going to cover that, too. So, I went from how to approach something and create, you know, if you feel the need to approach some hot-button issue about WWE creative, either be proactive about it or shut the hell up and don't say a word. I'm not saying you can't say anything about it, but what I am saying is please do your flipping fracking research about shit before you relay it online so everyone can see for themselves. So, okay. Anyways, so how do I approach a situation if a wrestler is mean to me or a wrestler is being rude or unpolite? Well, or impolite is what you meant to say. Is that right, Jordan? Okay. Jordan from Yonkers, New York. Okay. If a wrestler is being rude to you, think about it from two perspectives. If he's being an ass to you, then walk away from the situation. Don't try to cause drama. Two, the whole situation, because you questioned me about the Randy Orton thing, where I stand on it, I'm going to tell you. Not everything is the worker's fault, because their job is to look good for you guys, the fans. So, Randy's been known to be a dick, but that does not mean, you know, you go off and take a picture of him while he's just standing there looking nasty and gnarly. No, that's not cool. All right, so, to address the situation as a fan, keep it off social media, because what if one day you go to work for WWE or a major company and they see that out there that you are known, you are that guy or gal that goes and decides to write letters online so everyone can see. Okay? So with that being said, I'm going to switch gears here, ladies and gentlemen. Start an advertisement. If you go to Make-A-Wish, go to makeawish.org, type in the name of the superstar or, you know, lady superstar that you wish to come visit you, make little kids' wish come true. That's makeawish.org. It's not just strictly WWE, it's NBA, USC, any anybody's name can help make a child's wish come true. Be the one that, you know, complete that wish. Also, for those of you who wish to watch WWE Network, it's your first month free. It's a valid email and a valid password. You can go to your local Dollar Generals. Yep, your Dollar Generals, Walmarts, anything. So, yep, Dollar Generals, Walmarts, Best Buys, GameStop. You can pick up your reloadable cards. I believe it's $30 for the first 3 months that you have it on there. You can get a debit or credit card. Make sure the card number is valid. Make sure also to type in the full number of the card that you activate your WWE gift card on. For anything Evolve action, you can go to flowslam.com. You can catch the latest with Matthew Riddle, Ethan Page, Darby Allin. So, I mean, Desmond Xavier, anybody from Evolve you can catch on flowslam.com. Also, if you want to catch Monster Factory on Factory Fridays or any other action regarding Monster Factory, go to Fight Network. You can also catch local SICW action as well. So, enough advertising, I gotta say. For those of you, you know, like I said, if you were approaching the situation, like, seriously approaching it, that letter should have never even occurred, in my opinion. I mean, a lot of people say, well, you spout off a lot on Off the Rails. Okay, there's a difference between podcasting it and writing it. Writing it, you're putting yourself out there. Podcasting, you're also putting yourself out there, but I'm being more direct and intimate. And I also sure do my research on with, you know, whom I have a beef with, and I actually let it all out. There's the inveritable difference between me, you know, writing out my feelings on a blog versus me being proactive about doing my research and then shooting out my mouth who I'm pissed off at and how you can handle a situation. So I got, you know, there's one thing you got to understand, and that is whenever you are doing something in the professional wrestling business, whether it be podcasting, blogging, doing whatever, and everyone seems to think their stuff is hot shit because, oh my God, we got this many viewers this week. We got this many viewers that week. So, I mean, just be careful. Be very, very careful. Because you want to be a part of creating one, now you kind of ruined your chances, man. It's slim to none that a podcast would not get paid attention to. I don't know about that. Because there's a lot of people that get paid attention to. So, all right, moving forward. A lot of people wonder how guys get success and how, you know, it's all, oh, well, this guy, he's terrible. I don't like his attitude, or I don't like what the promoter told me to say. It's a hot mess. So how do you avoid drama? It's kind of unavoidable, to be honest with you folks. A lot of people say, well, just keep your mouth shut and your head down and you won't have any drama. Well, then when you do that, then here's the thing about that. I'm not saying get involved in drama. All I'm telling you is if you feel strongly about something, pull that person aside and say, hey, let's chat it out. Let's think about this. And how do we move forward from it? Because a lot of the times that I've been involved in professional wrestling, I've been through a lot of bad feelings and a lot of depression. And how does that depression affect moving forward in professional wrestling? I'll tell you how that affects somebody's perception in professional wrestling. I'm under the impression that when you go through a business, a lot of people don't want managers. You know, that's the truth. But are you going to bitch and gripe about how, oh my God, this company doesn't want me because I'm a manager? No. I mean, I found another avenue. Podcasting is not just a fallback for me. It was a way for me to learn how to do something. I'm not one that likes to learn, but if you are you involved in the professional wrestling business and you want to learn how to podcast, it's easy. Just hop on blogtalkradio.com and just blab. No. Talk or, you know, make your show very interesting, not bland, pathetic, boring, same generic discussion all the time. I don't want to make myself rant the entire time, guys, on Off the Rails, but I'm not going to hold back my feelings. I feel that some people in this business are truly blessed, you know, with the ability to work and wrestle and do this. And, you know, they get hurt, they get beat up pretty bad, and it's a sacrifice because you're away from family, you sacrifice working on the weekends when your job wants you to work weekends, especially including me. So here it is. If you truly love the professional wrestling business, it means sacrifices are going to have to be made. So what am I talking about now? The approach of being involved in professional wrestling. The approach of how you treat people. Because a lot of people in business, they don't care. They'll go about in their own business because it's a job. It is more, you know, to me than just a job. It is a way of life. I've loved professional wrestling ever since I was 4 or 5 years old. What does it have anything to do with the discussion? It does. It has a lot. Because if you don't love this, then you need to get the fuck out. Professional wrestling can be a hobby for some people. It can just be some extra money, some gas money to some people, some guys. It may be an ego booster for some guys because it becomes their alternate personality and it becomes, you know, the fact that they marry into the business. So it's a variety. And how do you approach, I'm going to title this one, how does one approach, you know, guys that are assholes in the wrestling business? Let them be. It's just that simple. I mean, because here's the thing. You got people that are stuck in their own fucking ways, and they're not going to change their opinion of what happened. And they can, you know, I've experienced being fired from a wrestling business, but who hasn't? So, I mean, it is what it is. I made my bed, now I'm lying in, and I'm actually comfortable with it. You know why? Because I decided to take the leap. I decided to move out east, and I decided to just, you know, come home every now and again to see a good friend of mine wrestle. And is it a fanboy-esque behavior of doing so? No, I don't think so. If I'm helping somebody with merch, that means I'm contributing in this business. If I help set up the ring, that means I've contributed. Do I get a gold star for doing those things? No, but it means later on the line I'm reliable. I am, you know, basically what I'm trying to just tell you guys as an audience is that I have, you know, had my issues with depression and wrestling, and I have found ways to combat those ways of depression. So I'm not gonna sit here and tell you wrestling is so easy. I mean, sometimes it comes natural for people. Sometimes it's definitely a lot of turmoil in this business. And, you know, people get caught up in the game of like, oh, you know what this person said, you know what that person said. How do I get, you know, hooked up? And they only use people. Newsflash, motherfuckers. That's the business. You cannot get caught up in what one group of people did to you. Otherwise, it's going to eat at you, or one person did to you. And by the way, you know what? I felt like, you know, when you feel like people are staring holes into you, like, it's not a comfortable feeling. And I felt that. I felt that way at one show, and it did not feel comfortable at all. I just want to say I let it go because there's nothing you really can do. And it's much better that way because it causes less drama. So you talk to the people that you're close with. And you talk to the people that, you know, matter. Because otherwise, if you just can, you know, you keep constantly focusing on the negative with people in the business, yeah, people are going to go back and say, remember this guy? He was a jackass. Don't deal with him. I don't give a flying fuck what you call me, but I'm not going to sit there and be quiet, you know, when I feel strongly about something. I'm not going to cause any drama, but I will say this right now. If, for starters, people I was around, you know, during one show, they're great people. They worked their asses off. They had a great show. I just, you know, certain people in this business, this is what bothers me. They think that the business owes them. They think that just because they look good or that they have a certain aura about them that they'll be in the business. Sometimes that shit works and sometimes that shit don't, because some fans will like you because they don't know you on the personal end of things, and if they actually do get to know you, I mean, that's just really my take on it, is that if they really, really get to know you, then what? Okay, let me start this over. If you are in the wrestling business and you treat somebody, you know, you stare at somebody like you're staring a hole into them, I don't know what the fuck you're trying to accomplish. And if you're giving me the silent treatment because you know what I came from, you know what I'm about, and you've heard what I've said, I have no regrets, not one. I honestly don't care, because from what I'm saying to you is like this. What I'm saying to you is the following. If you don't like what I have to say on this show, there's, you know, other podcasts that you can float to. But Maria from Ceres, California, what's going on, girlfriend? It's my good friend from years ago. I met her through another friend. She has a question about who am I referring to. I cannot divulge names because I don't do that. I did that in one, you know, one spell swoop with one vent, and I'm okay. So to answer your question, this is in regards to people who believe their shit doesn't stink and that they in the wrestling business, that the wrestling business owes them, and that eventually they'll get a spot in a higher place of wrestling. It doesn't work, you know, it doesn't quite work like that. And I've said this time and time again. If you're in the professional wrestling business, the business doesn't owe you anything. You come into this business, you may get paid, you may not get paid. I mean, I thought, you know, when I came back in 2015 that I was going to have the greatest time. It was going to be great, great experience. Well, you know, singing the national anthem, that's not a bad gig. I am not Lillian Garcia. Or, you know, anybody else, but I gotta say, there are certain things that I can be used for, but do I get that choice? No. I have to be the one to get off my happy little ass and make promos and send them to promoters, and if promoter likes it, great. Does that make me look desperate? Some may say yes, and some may say no. I'm not caring what other people think anymore, because you know why? The minute you start paying attention to the fucking naysayers, here's what's going to happen to your career. Your career is either going to be in the toilet with the rest of the peoples who believe that the business owes them something, or that they're worth more than what they put out. People who just go out there just to have fun, just to, you know, for the traveling experience of it all. Is there such a crime in enjoying what you love to do? I mean, if you're not into it and you're just like, oh my God, he botched that move, or oh my gosh, I can't believe that you're working with so-and-so again. Like, that discussion is used from the car. Do not do that in public, because if you do that in public, it's going to look bad, and people are going to come back and say, do you know that he's a bad-mouthing, no good, SOB, yada, yada. Well, I am a bad-mouthing person, not an SOB by any means. But I do have to say, It's really a matter of reflecting. It's a matter of, okay, what do you have to do, the individual, to fix, to fix oneself? And I've really had a lot of reflection, and thank you, Danny Cage, and thank you, Bob Evans, Guru Bob Evans. And I haven't fixed it entirely, but I'm fixing myself before I can get back into professional wrestling. And I'm observing, the other workers. No one's ever fucking perfect, but I got to tell you, it's hard. It's hard knowing that people stare at you because. But my thoughts are like this. I don't give a flying fuck. If you want to stare a hole at me, you go ahead and stare a hole at me. If you have something to say to me, you say it directly to B-Train. Or me, Brian Rails. I know that it's funny that a manager is calling out people, but isn't that what, if that's how you solve a problem in wrestling, you say, if any back want to fix an issue, you got to solve it with me face to face. That's exactly what I'm going to do. Because I figure, just start with drama, just say, hey, I don't like you, fuck you, great, we're done. But if it's going to turn into one big festering bowl of drama, nah, I don't want to deal with it. I seriously don't. Because it becomes a pain in the butt. So, no, not cool. So we got 12 minutes left. I'm going to tell you, I have been through several career changes because of professional wrestling. I have literally switched from, being a cashier one place, cashier another place, and being a cashier at another place. And then, I went through learning one thing and going through another thing. And then it just, the excitement wasn't there anymore. It became really stale. So, I was getting antsy, I was getting anxious, and I decided to move out east. And though, I'm not in an actual wrestling school, I can tell you from my experiences, because that's what I'm doing. And a lot of people, you're discredited. How come you're not training in school? How the fuck are you trying to tell me when you aren't in training school? Here's what I'm going to tell you. You don't have to be in a wrestling school to know what life's issues are and whatever. But how does this tie back into wrestling? It's like a job. A job that you actually care about and give a damn about and want to be at, okay? Because in professional wrestling, there's guys that you travel with and you absolutely have a blast with. Then there's guys with that you had issues with, and then you make amends with. And what I'm referring to, okay, I'm basically referring to, certain individual that I've made amends with, and yeah, we had issues. We literally hated each other, and he hated me, I hated him. So how did we solve the issue? It was funny. Within the very first few minutes, it took a minute for me just to compose myself and not go off on the guy. But oh, fuck it, Cody Wilson. I'm glad you and I made amends with one another, and I'm glad that we let bygones be bygones, because you know what? If you want to wrestle for whomever you want to wrestle for, that's your business, not mine. Just speaking from perspective, people don't get this. It's weird how the healing process works in the wrestling business, because a lot of people will sit there and hold grudges for years. I don't intend on holding grudge, I intend on letting go, and I intend on doing the best I can, because I feel personally that I've made up for what I've done. It may not be perfect, but this question is coming in, how many people have I forgiven? It's not the number, dude. It's, sometimes they come to you, sometimes you come to them. I didn't shake hands, with Cody. Well, yes, I did. That's a lie. I shook hands with him and gave him a hug because it was like, fuck it, we're done with, you know, all this animosity. We're done with all this drama that happened between myself and management from where he wrestles. But at the same token, here's what I'm going to tell you. The healing process in wrestling, it takes a lot. Sometimes it takes, you know, time. Sometimes it takes being quiet and listening to the other side and how they feel. And, you know, it's give or take, because a lot of people who tune in and say, well, you know, weren't you supposed to heal with the other people? And isn't going to take a lot for you to, you know, it depends, because, like I said, I don't want to be angry at Cody and the rest of his group, you know, for the rest of my natural born giving life. But I do want to say forgiveness in professional wrestling is a major deal, because guys can be mad at each other. Oh, man, I can't believe you did this to me in this match and you did this to me in that match. And what it boils down to is if you can forgive, you can sure as hell, you know, move forward with your life. And that's what I'm doing. And I'm almost 30 years old and I have plenty of people on my list that I need to fucking move forward about, because not every time will I be able, you know, to say I've been blessed and fortunate enough to work in the professional wrestling business and also been a part of crowds at WrestleMania. Maybe not everyone can sit there and say that. So I just want to say right here, right now, like, I'm okay with where I'm at. A lot of people say you got more work to do. Yeah, that's true. I do have more work to do. And you know what? I'm going to take it in stride, and I'm just going to do the best I can. I'm not going to go at rapid speed pace trying to forgive everybody that ever fucked me over, because if I do that, guess what, guys? It's up to the individual in the business. Like, a lot of people say, I had this happen between this individual and me, and lying in the business, yeah, that kind of irritates the fuck out of me too. When you have people that tell you something that's not true, you tend to believe that that person is true because they're the one training you. Speaking from personal experience, I can forgive that person, but I'm not necessarily going to shake hands with the motherfucker, because I don't really, as shady as this person is, no. And is that holding a grudge? Probably, yeah. And what did I just get through saying about forgiving and forgetting? I forgive him, but I'm not going to go up to the person that made me say certain things during wrestler's court. I'm not too happy, you know, still thrilled about that shit. That shit has never left my mind, and it never probably fucking will. But like I said, move forward. I'm better. This is 2017. And I'm going to, you know, just say I've had my fair share of fights with other people in the business. No, I don't know that many people in the business, to be honest with you. I've been to seminars. I had a mouth on me when I was 21. It's been a lot of ups and downs. But like I said, forgiveness was kind of like the main ending focus of the show. And what I'm going to leave you guys with is, if you like to tune in to B-Train's Off the Rails Uncensored, again, next week the times will vary. I'm just going to leave that out as a schedule. For those of you wishing to tune in to Wrestle Radio, you can tune in to us on Tuesdays from 4 to 6 p.m. Because our show is probably one of the most realist and groundbreaking shows, but it basically discusses a wide variety of more than just WWE. It also describes or goes into detail quite vividly, like my broadcast partner did yesterday with Philip Stamper, about CZW, MCW, if you do wish to discuss Impact, please do so with my ears plugged. But anyways, I got to go. And I will catch you all later on the flip side. It's been wonderful. My name is B-Train, or a.k.a. Brian Rails. And I hope to see you all next Wednesday. How's it going?
Because of something I